future in terms of safety. And we are live.
Welcome back, beautiful and amazing human beings. This is Luke Radowski and Jason Burmis of We Are Change here with our weekly news wrap-up show where we round up the entire week of the most important developments of every day that happened this week. And today is August 5th, 2018, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we are going to be live for 1 hour on Facebook, Twitter, and later available on iTunes of this podcast. And of course, we're going to be mainly interacting with you guys on YouTube, youtube.com/wearechange, through your comments, and of course, your super chats that keep us fully independent and not bipartisan hyperbolic trash like Huffington Post that I saw out here active yesterday in Portland that were totally just muddying the waters, playing gang affiliation bullcrap propaganda in order to justify their limousine liberal overlords. And the same thing is done on the right, but I saw it firsthand yesterday here in Portland, Oregon, during the event that happened here, that we were live for over 3.5 hours. Someone missed some of that broadcast there. it was a very, very intense day. You were watching, Jason, from New York. How did you see everything unfold from your end?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. They played it up all week in the media. White nationalist groups, racists, white nationalists, neo-Nazis are coming. Now, I watched from early, you know, I was up at like 10:30 Eastern time waiting around, and then like probably, I don't know, like 11 a.m. was when the feed started coming in. I didn't see a Nazi there. I didn't see a swastika. I didn't see anyone doing Hail Hitler at all. Now, did I see some tactics where I didn't love how they were screaming at each other? Sure, but this was not. First of all, let's talk about Joey Gibson for a second. He's half Asian. He's half Asian. There were plenty of people of color, more I would say, on the quote-unquote right-wing side. Now, were they maybe over-the-top pro-Trump? They're allowed to be that. And then you look at the other side, Luke, and boy, oh boy, I mean, we just put out the Antifa girl who called you a Nazi or neo-Nazi, a fascist, and a European black knight, whatever that means.
Wouldn't I don't know what that means. I'm like, if anyone knows in the comment section right now, let me know what a European black knight means, because I have absolutely no clue. But I tried to talk to her, and no, she just wasn't having it. I was like, just tell me what's wrong with me. Like, tell me why you hate me so much. Why are you screaming at me? Absolutely nothing. Sorry, go on, Jason.
No, and that's like the big issue to me is, why is it we can't have a conversation? You said I'd be more than happy to talk to you. You knew at no time threatened her in any way, shape, or form at all. You didn't try to threaten her. I mean, literally, there's a guy with a puppy next to you. We ended the little short clip on that, but there's a little more to it, I guess.
Yeah, there's always some positivity to be found, no matter what the circumstances are. And puppies are definitely one of them.
Anyway, she literally, and a lot of people picked up on this, but as soon as I saw it, that one shot of you have of her, where she's about 6 or 7 feet away, all by herself, the whole back is blown out white. She's in her black outfit and sunglasses. Fascist! Fascist! It's like something out of Slender Man, bro. And you, again, I'm not kidding. You, again, just wanted to talk to her. You're not a Nazi. I know you're not a fascist. Listen, you're like one of the most, I've got to convince you of more regulation on things all the time.
I'm more of an anarchist than anything else. If anything, I hate labels. I hate political like boxing, trying to box people in, and you're this ideology, you're that ideology. Let's just be honest, human beings. Like, if you choose a side before actually hearing an issue and hearing both sides of it, you're an absolute idiot, because there's some points that the right is right on, and there's some points that the left is right on, and it's really about an issue by issue basis of what is right and what is wrong. And people don't do that. They lie and manipulate. There's been, you know, wrongdoings on both sides yesterday. There's been, you know, obvious triggering. There's been obvious inflammatory context. There's been obvious bad words. And as a news organization, it's important to highlight both of those, which we did yesterday. But bipartisan news organizations who were out here just focused specifically on one group, totally ignored facts of what was happening on the complete other side, because that was the side that they were shilling for. And that's just the most dishonest thing you could ever do in journalism. It's not journalism, it's propaganda, it's PR. It's meant to make people divide and conquer each other, placing all this like identity politics and race politics onto people where they're literally fighting each other in the streets, which is just ridiculous, because if you sat both of these groups down, put a beer down, take away all the fancy emblems and shields and all the decorative helmets everyone has and all the logos everyone has, you take all that away, you strip that away, you sit them down and you bring up the topic of government, all these people are going to be like, yeah, I hate government. So let's all just agree to stop using government against each other and stop playing this victim mentality and take responsibility for each other and for our lives and be able to move forward together peacefully in a cohesive way. But that's something that the media doesn't want, because if it bleeds, it leads. And that's why they're pushing all this hyperbolic stuff. So you fear the other side. I don't fear any side. That's why I'm here. I was, you know, in the ground all around Antifa when the police were attacking them. I was reporting on the police attacking them the way they did. I was reporting on what they were doing in retaliation because of that as well. I was there on the ground. And it wasn't always the safest situation or circumstance, whether it was people calling me alt-right for some reason, which I'm just completely flabbergasted at that complete point, because I've been, again, going against authority for my entire existence. My principles have never changed. People may criticize me for who I date and dated, but people need to understand I dated everyone on the different political spectrum. My principles and ideologies have never changed throughout my career, and it's always pushing the non-aggression principle. It's always pushing non-violence, and it's always pushing against any authority or central rule over you and pushing for decentralization, which I think is the common sense solution towards all of this, since it is the centralization of power and abuse of power that creates these horrible situations in our life and in our existence. And only because of this divide and conquer technique are we able not to actually deal with them. I just did an interview with Tim Pool about this new kind of identity politics, race politics. We're gonna release that tomorrow. It's gonna be a very good video that I definitely recommend you guys watch, because we put it in full context. And playing into some of the conspiratorial theories, one of the personal ones that I believe, that again, I can't really prove this, I can't really show any evidence to this, I only have a lingering feeling about this, is that after Occupy Wall Street, where we did see people from the left and right initially agree with each other, I think that scared the crap out of the establishment. I mean, there was people supporting Ron Paul, Bernie Sanders. There was left-wing, right-wing people at Occupy Wall Street in the beginning until it was kind of co-opted in many different ways. But that scared the crap out of the establishment. And I think there has been a concerted effort being like, okay, these people are talking about how they're getting robbed and looted by the corporations and government and the big banks. Let's make sure we shift the conversation into something that they'll squabble and fight against, and that is identity politics, that is race politics, that has been pushed, that has been used with outrage mobs in order to get us fighting against each other instead of looking at the problems that we're all facing together. And to me, there has been a deliberate push, from my own personal belief, my own personal theory, that this has been a progressive push towards any kind of unity against the establishment, and it has worked very effectively, as we have seen in the streets yesterday, with people not knowing anything about the other side and just wanting to hurt each other. We got another super chat. Sorry, if you want to say anything, Jason, about that,
well,
feel
I do
free
want
to
point ahead. Out one thing, Luke. You know, you talked about violence, and if it bleeds, it leads. But let's be honest here. One of the short videos you put out yesterday was following Joey Gibson, the guy from Patriot Prayer that put this together.
Yeah, and I got to say, I was very lucky to do that, because I needed to pee, and I just went to the porta potty, and I'm like, hey, guys, just so you know, I'm live here. And he was like, this guy turned around. I was like, what's your name? He's like, oh, I'm Joey Gibson. I didn't even know how the guy looked like. I didn't even know anything about the guy. And he's like, oh, so you organized this. I interviewed him for the live stream. We had a conversation. It was civil, just about what was happening there on the ground, what he thinks is going to happen. And he's like, hey, man, I'm going to go over there. You should come with. And I'm like, okay. So I went over there, followed him behind him. And, yeah, Jason, go on.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. You took him there. Well, not really. You were behind him reporting on it. I wouldn't say you took him there, but it was probably a group of maybe 5 or 10 people with him, max, correct?
No, I didn't take him. I didn't take him there. It was like 2 people behind him, and he said, look, I'm going to go do this. Yeah. You should film this.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, fine.
But I was saying, it wasn't a huge crowd. It wasn't like he was marching with the group. You know what I'm saying? And he went directly into enemy territory, and it's about a 3-minute video, and the amount of just hatred that was spewed at this guy Nazi, fascist, scum. I'm not going to say the curse words, but I'm telling you right now, there were plenty of them, Luke. And he ends up getting physically assaulted. Someone threw something or hit him in the head, and he walked away. And he never raised a hand, never screamed at these people. From what I've heard of him speak, and I saw him many times on several different live streams, again, he's not a neo-Nazi. He's not a white supremacist. He was arm-in-arm with people of color. So, to me, again, the media has skewed this issue so much. And next week we have the Unite the Right event in D.C., which I expect to be much more violent. Hopefully I'm going to be driving down there. I'm not sure if you're planning on going on the ground. Maybe it's just going to be me. I don't know. Maybe we're going to team up for the first time in a year and a half. But there you actually do have people that believe in race politics. But I don't believe this guy does. And the media loves race politics and showing violence when it's on their side. But when it's the left attacking somebody who has not been racist, they haven't showed your video, have they? Is that a story anywhere?
No, it's definitely not. I still got to scour everything. I'm still exhausted from everything that was happening here. Originally, my itinerary was to be here Friday at noon. I was stuck at the airport for 15 hours in New York. There was massive delays, massive cancellations. I was on standby as well. Missed so many different flights. Didn't sleep the night before. Totally came here exhausted at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Been up all day. My plan was to be in Berkeley today. That plan failed. All the flights looked really horrible. I couldn't make it on the flight. And then at the same time, a lot of people canceled their participation with that event, and it just sadly didn't work out. I'm also feeling exhausted and tired. I had another plan of going to Mexico Monday. That's also falling through. I'm working on a big developing story for this YouTube channel. So just know, people out there, we're busting our butt, and there's a lot to uncover. I mean, we need independent media more than ever, and it is being attacked more than ever because we're unfolding and taking away this allure and this mask that they're trying to push on the people to set as a reality to get rid of any responsibility of any kind of good. So we have to understand that there's a huge, huge battle happening right now, and it's happening predominantly with independent media. We got a super chat by Nicholas Peter. Thank you, Nicholas. Again, all your super chats here help us be free and independent and help us speak our mind and call out both sides here, which is critically important. Which, again, not many people are doing. There's a lot less independent journalists out there now than there ever has been before. But Nicholas Peter says, check out newmana.com, food preparation, and see what you think. Ingredients seem better than Patriot Pantry. Maybe do a promotion with them. Maybe we will. If you guys know and have been watching our channel, preparewithwearechange.com has been one of our sponsors that helps us be fully independent. As you know, YouTube has been cutting our revenue tremendously for a number of years now. We have been one of the first channels on YouTube to be officially demonetized by them in so many different coercive ways that we do need to take sponsors. And if there's a sponsor that I believe in, if there's a sponsor that I try that I like, I'm going to use them, and I'm going to promote them as well, because again, it's a reciprocal relationship that we need to keep going. So thank you, Nicholas Peter, for that suggestion. I'll definitely check that out. But Jason, anything else you want to say before we move into the main story that we want to talk about? And that, of course, is Venezuela.
Yes, we're talking about sponsors really quick. Guys, this is the first opportunity for you to hit the join button. We just included it this week. And the really cool thing about this is it's not just a super chat, but you get a Luke emoji. You get access to a Luke emoji, which I made up.
What? What? I didn't even know about this.
Well, the thing is, you have to, all right, in order to do this, and it's $4.99 a month, but you're going to get access to badges. There's a We Are Change badge. There'll be different colored ones. It's really tough for me because it's a small format graphically to work with. But right now, we have our first Luke emoji out there too, guys. Holy cow. If you're a sponsor, the Luke emoji comes up.
Does my nose even fit in the emoji?
It's just your face. It's just a smiling Luke Radowski.
Does the nose even get in there?
I mean, it's so tough. I'll send you. It's a small little PNG file. But okay. Guys, as this progresses, we're going to have cool stuff like that. Badges, emojis, things to get you involved beyond Super Chats. Because if you're willing to sponsor us for $4.99 a month, we're willing to interact with all of you. But obviously, with so many people saying so many things, we can only take so many questions. These shows end up being an hour, 2 hours, 2 hours plus sometimes because we're answering these questions. So Ricky Dashik, he didn't ask a question, but thank you for that super chat, brother. And Luke, do you want to lead into this very bizarre news story from yesterday?
I mean, it's an incredibly bizarre story coming out of Venezuela, because we had the socialist leader there, their premier. People have criticized him as a dictator, a very heavy-handed one, Nicolas Maduro, who was giving a national address during a show of force with his military. And then there's information coming out that he was attacked, and that there was an assassination attempt on his life in Venezuela during his talk. And some of the videos and some of the information coming out of this is just wild. They're calling this a failed drone attack, but there's also a lot of counter information. Now, the socialist premier, Nicolas Maduro, is claiming that the people who tried to assassinate him were, quote, far-right Venezuelan exiles who are living currently in Florida and Colombia. He, of course, pointed the finger at the Colombian government, and he started rounding up his political opponents after blaming them for what he is describing as an assassination attempt. Now, what's interesting here is that there have been officials and firefighters within Venezuela who are saying that this was just a gas tank blowing up, and that TV cameras failed to actually capture footage of this drone. But you guys could see the footage for yourself. Reportedly, there have been a number of Venezuelan soldiers that have been injured during this. Tensions now have been rising between the Venezuelan government and the Colombian government. And Maduro, very interestingly, is calling on the government of the United States, as well as President Trump, to, quote, help him fight these terrorists. And as we know, the Venezuelan government did make a large donation to Donald Trump, but that hasn't really won him any favors. Seven soldiers were reportedly injured in this attack, and there has been a building that was damaged from it as well, and it was reportedly two drones that were flying and exploding. What do you think about some of this footage coming out, and also the theory that some of the government officials and firefighters are saying that this was just a gas tank explosion and that this was not an assassination attempt, Jason?
All right, so we just played those videos while you were going over those stories. So we played the drone footage about two or three times for people to check it out. And what's really bizarre is, you know, the media footage that they put out there, Luke, everybody just starts running. And then the president gets covered in Kevlar. Now, as this thing is happening, one of the things they didn't pick up on, if you look over to the right of your screen while he's standing there, one guy seems to kind of slump over as this starts. But there is no footage of this drone other than what seems to be cell cam footage, right? And it hangs in the air for a good 1 to 2 seconds. Now, you know I do graphics, After Effects, things like that. That just did not look organic to me. Something looked very wrong there. And there are reports that journalists were actually rounded up. Opposition journalists were rounded up right after this supposed coup attempt. I guess that's what you could call it, an assassination attempt. So many are speculating whether or not it's a false flag. Then we showed the video, and you know, let's go to that right now. Let's show the video from inside the building that seems to have gotten the most damage. Here it is. This is inside the building we're looking at, Luke, and it doesn't look too banged up or burnt out. Don't get me wrong. Something looked like it happened there. But I think that it's really up in the air. What happened? I mean, what's your take on all of this?
Well, it's very hard to... There's a couple of things that you really need to comprehend here, is that Maduro is in a comfy place, and he doesn't really need an excuse to squash any of his political opponents, since he has been squashing them for a very long time now. If you guys get a chance, definitely check out the video that I made that is titled "You Won't Believe What We Saw in Socialist Venezuela," when me and Jeff Berwick, the Dollar Vigilante, traveled to Caracas, the murder capital of the world, and reported on the ground the situation that's happening there. And it is extremely dire. I mean, we're talking about the worst human circumstances that people would have to deal with. The Venezuelan people are very strong to deal with a lot of adversities created, of course, by the government. And we have to understand that he doesn't really need an excuse to gain more power and to squash political dissent, because he's already been doing it very blindly and very openly without an excuse, which puts that kind of theory into question, whether this was a false flag or not. It's interesting that he's not blaming the CIA, which usually does commit similar acts and has tried to commit similar acts against Fidel Castro inside of Cuba. And he's going primarily after Colombia, his neighboring country that is harboring a lot of dissenters in there. And we do have to understand on the other side, to be completely fair and objective, there have been many efforts by intelligence agencies, by the quote alleged deep state, and by a lot of interests to finance and overthrow Chavez, Maduro, and to support the opposition in that country, coming, of course, for better geopolitical reasons. But being there on the ground, this is all worth considering. I'm not making any definitive gesture or theory about exactly specifically what happened, because we're still finding out. This literally just happened not long ago. But really watch the video inside of Venezuela, and this brings up a lot of moral conundrums. Should, you know, Maduro be taken out because of the way he's running his country, or should, you know, this is going to bring up a lot of different discussions, because some people have this personal belief like he is creating a lot of pain and a lot of hurt and he needs to be overthrown. But at the same time, do you violate your principles and also interfere in other people's elections, which the United States has been doing actively and talking about actively and also bragging about, especially in the State Department, how they're participating in that. So that's, of course, a moral conundrum for a lot of people in this debate. But I could just tell you the situation in Venezuela is not good. A lot of motorcycle gangs are hired by the government to go after dissenters. Anyone going up against the government is facing very stiff penalties. We were very lucky to get out of that country alive. Extremely just dire, horrible situation in a beautiful country with beautiful people. Venezuelan people are some of the most intelligent, smartest people that I have ever met in my life. You could talk to an average worker there, whether he's a door opener or a janitor, and they are some of the most smartest, most intelligent people that I have ever ran into. And you could talk about complicated political dichotomies, and they all get it and they all understand it. But they're facing a lot of tough circumstances. What's your reaction from it, Jason? I'm kind of rambling here.
No, I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, you know, these moral conundrums actually do exist. You know, what do you do when so many people are in such dire straits? But again, you look at a decade ago, you know, before, you know, Chavez was really out of the picture, and Venezuela didn't look anything like it did in the video we just showed, Luke. So it just shows how effective our nation both overtly and covertly they are in destabilizing quote-unquote places that are enemies of the state, part of the axes of evil. I mean, this guy really put it on the line. Remember when Chavez got up on the United Nations floor and said it smelled of sulfur because yeah. Satan, a.k.a. Bush, had just been up there? Well, it wasn't much long. I mean, what, 5 years later? And his country, I mean, first of all, I think by 5 years later, Chavez was gone himself, right? His country had started to slide into decline, and now we're about probably a decade from that, my man, maybe a decade plus, and it's unrecognizable. This is third world stuff. Venezuela did not used to be like that.
No. It's an extremely rich country filled with national resources. And again, reading and understanding some of the comprehensions by the Economic Hitman and that book, you could see U.S. intervention making the problem a lot worse, especially with the sanctions that the United States puts on Venezuela that also just affects the common average person and pretty much blocks the country out economically. We got a super chat by Avitas who says the drone strike was ordered by John Bolton. I definitely wouldn't put it past the U.S. government to do assassinations of political leaders for greater political, you know, purposes. We saw, you know, very similar things with people like Patrice Lumbia and other people throughout history. But to me, this doesn't really. It's interesting because Maduro's not placing the blame on John Bolton. He's not placing the blame on the U.S. State Department that has been going against Venezuela. He's not putting the blame against the U.S. government. He's putting the blame specifically on Colombia here.
John Bolton's drones, they're not toys that you can buy online for $70 on Amazon.com, which is what we saw. Don't get me wrong. Maybe that was a $800 drone or, again, maybe just a CGI model. I have no idea.
That, look, That looked like a $2,000 drone. It had 8 propellers on there. Okay. It was a massive thing. It was definitely worth up to $2,000 to even $10,000 with those specific drone ranges, just to be specific. But again, let's wait for more footage to come out before we make any definitive statements here. But to me, just from the circumstantial evidence, I don't see it as a false flag. I do see the situations in Venezuela dire. I don't like the Venezuelan government and authorities. I know other people see it differently, but being there, being on the ground, talking to Venezuelans, still talking to Venezuelans, it's an absolute outcry what's happening in that country and a travesty to humanity. And I just wish it would get better.
Absolutely agree, Luke. Let's go to the super chat before we move on.
Yep, go ahead.
Bunny Ha says, love you guys, keep up the amazing work. Wish I could do more. Bien, si, I'm going to butcher this. Cidado? Hey.
Tú no hablas español, Jason, ¿por qué tú no hablas?
I know I look dark, but I am not of Latin descent. I get it all the time, man, but whatever. Thank you so much, Bunny. Believe me, that's great, and we really do appreciate it. Moving on, Luke, to a story that isn't so great. Australian bishop convicted of sex abuse cover-up resigns. And why is he resigning and not going into, I don't know, prison?
Jail?
Yeah. I mean, he's got a year of detention, which is not, you know, jail by any means. He's not going to prison. And he'll be able to resume somewhere else in an upper echelon position in the church. And this is the systematic abuse of our young people. And it's been going on for decade upon decade upon decade. It wasn't until really the late 80s, the early 90s, that this was even spoken about, Luke. And now it's like a joke on Comedy Central, yet these guys still get away with it all the time. None of them do hard prison time. It really makes me sick to my stomach, the system we have. And I would encourage people to go check out the Netflix mini documentary series called The Keepers, which exposes this type of behavior in Baltimore, Maryland, which also exposes murder and so much more. And these people haven't been brought to justice. This is a pandemic global issue, Luke. And it's time that we take on the real thing other than this sensationalized garbage we see so much in the alternative media.
Exactly. I mean, this needs to be an issue. We have to remember, stories like this have been covered up by the media for so long. So many atrocious crimes. And to this be done in the authority of supposed spirituality and morality is just the biggest disgrace that you could ever have on this planet, committing the worst act that you could ever do to a human being, damaging them for their rest of their lives. And again, this is never an easy topic to talk about. This is a very difficult topic to talk about, but it needs to be talked about. What the Catholic Church has been able to get away with, again, now the Catholics are going to be mad at me, but let's just call a spade here. The Catholic Church has harbored, protected, and continued to work with pedos. It's been clear, it's been documented, it's been proven. They do not have the moral authority, they do not have the spiritual authority. It's conducting their business and operations this way, especially with the cover-ups and crimes that they're able to get away with. This needs to be, you know, stopped immediately. Let's put all this religious beliefs aside and like hold people accountable for doing this.
You know, we got another super chat that goes along with this, my man. This is from Argyle. Thank you so much. Big super chat. Thank you so much, man. Amen, Jason, responding to the ritual abuse of children. And that is what we are seeing. Okay, and don't get me wrong, I'm not here to demonize Catholics, and I don't think Luke is either. These people, for instance, you watch The Keepers. Well, you've got a Catholic priest and his brother, who's a police officer, Luke, doing the same thing. And I have to say allegedly here, because despite there's multiple victims where all of their stories coincide, these people were never brought to justice. And
they're just being moved around. There's been multiple stories of priests being caught molesting, you know, little children, and then the Catholic Church finds out about it. Instead of holding them accountable, throwing them in jail, which they should do, they cover up for it, and they literally just move the priest to another church. Like, that's just utterly insane, Jason.
It's not only utterly insane, man. It's criminal. And it's more than criminal. It's immoral. It's something that any decent human being should be speaking out against. And, you know, not to go too hard on this, but again, we're talking about something that's been proven, that's out there. You know, we're doing little mini docs on Nexium. We're the first to put out any new information on that. The real proven stuff, the stuff that we know is abusing children. And then I've got to go and I've got to see video after video of somebody saying, well, you know, Robert Mueller is allowed to... Listen, Robert Mueller's a bad guy. I'm not even going to continue what was said there. There's plenty to talk about Robert Mueller. But he's never, at least I know of, I've never seen any evidence that he is engaged in pedophilia or even covered up for pedophiles, a.k.a. some of these investigations getting up that high on the chain of command. Not saying he hasn't covered up, but you make an allegation like that, somebody calls me a pedophile, Luke, I'm coming right back being like, what are you talking about, brother?
We have to understand here these kind of sensational, hyperbolic news organizations that push speculation and act like they're fact totally discredit and do a huge disservice to the actual crimes that are happening there. There was talks about children being abused on Mars that people were pushing, and I'm like, dude, you don't have to look far for a lot of these crimes. You don't have to go to Mars. Like, that's literally what they were talking about. They were talking about children being abused on Mars and elite hyperloop travel to, like even in the time that it technically could take us to travel there, they would already be old. They wouldn't be little boys. Like, what is wrong with these people? So again, it's important to support people who actually do the real work and show you actual evidence for you to decide for yourself. And there's enough of it, Jason.
Yeah, and you know what? With that being said, Luke, I'm going to just skip the next Fox News story and get into this one because it's really curtailing with what we're talking about. What is QAnon explaining the bizarre right-wing conspiracy theory? And here it is. Here's the sensationalism. They're trying to take the legitimate parts of Pedogate that we know is going on in Hollywood, right? Luke, we know that An Open Secret is very accurate, and Bryan Singer has done things that are really unspeakable with other very, very powerful men. We know about the testimony of Corey Feldman. We know that many of these people are now starting to be outed, but instead, The Guardian wants to take QAnon, and I've already seen in the chats, people are asking, what do you think about QAnon, Luke? What do you think? Q. We're seeing these t-shirts now pop up at Trump rallies all over. It's being popularized, beyond belief. And let me say this, Roger Stone actually went on the air and said that all of the indictments are fake. There is no plan to go arrest people. And, you know, I don't agree with Roger Stone on a lot of things, but he is correct there. What we are seeing here, guys, is literally a hoax that has fed you lie after lie after lie and fed into, it's almost like somebody wants to see their horoscope. You know, they go check their horoscope every day. Real people.
Yeah, Jason. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, real people don't leave breadcrumbs, guys, okay? That's not how it works. Real people show their face, tell their story, and give their information. This is not an intel officer on the inside doing anything, and I'm sorry. A lot of people are going to hate on me for saying this, but it's being used to discredit real things, and The Guardian, among others, are doing this. Go ahead, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the mainstream media pick up the Q thing. We've been talking about it for months now. For a very long time, ever since it came up, because I had so many people come to me and they're like, look at this Q riddle, look at this Q puzzle. They're talking about indictments. There was, you know, one news broadcaster who said, I'm speaking to QAnon on the phone and he's telling me everything that's going to happen and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And then that same Q person came out and attacked that person that was supposedly talking to him one-on-one, which is utterly ridiculous. Q also pushed for war with Iran. And I've been asking people time and time again, please show me anything concrete that Q has ever came up with. Prove me wrong. And I've been so patient. I've been so diligent. I'm like, okay, show me the evidence and proof of this riddle, of this puzzle that you want me to understand and comprehend in some way to predict what this intelligence officer within the Trump administration is doing. And you know, and I don't like saying this, but there is something, you know, worthy, like you said before we got on this broadcast, that people do like riddles, puzzles, and drama movies, and this has been played up in many different ways, but we have to understand the inconsistencies here. If QAnon is fighting the deep state, why is he calling for a war with Iran? Why are some news broadcasters saying they're talking to Q, and then Q's outing them as and attacking them right afterwards? Why is Q talking about indictments that have not happened at all? What piece of evidence has Q ever released that has come out to be true? Prove me wrong. Let me know. Message me on my Twitter. If I'm missing anything, I will gladly admit that I'm wrong. I admit that I'm wrong a lot. I'm not perfect. I'm a human being. I have my biases. I tell you my biases. I tell you from the perspective that I'm coming from, usually against authority, usually against centralization. That's my personal bias that I report from, that you need to understand, because everyone's biased. But again, message me on Twitter. Twitter.com/LukeWeirdChange, because we're going to get flack for this. We're going to get attacked for this. I'm not afraid of that. I've been attacked throughout my entire career. So have you, Jason. No matter what you do, if you're not getting attacked, you're not doing something right. So getting attacks from the Q people has been very interesting. But please, again, I've been very patient. Prove me wrong. I'll entertain it. I'll look at it. I'll research it. But again, I've been doing it. We've been doing it for months, Jason. Yeah. I haven't found any. You found anything?
Listen, again, I like puzzles. I got two little girls. We go get the 100-piece puzzles all the time. We actually put them together, make little posters out of them. Love a puzzle. Love spending time. I like a real puzzle, not an imagination land. Listen, if somebody can put me in touch with Santa Claus, I'd like to get in touch with him too. He seems like a pretty good dude. You know, not to joke so much, but we talk about getting attacked, Luke. And, you know, I was debating on whether we were going to read this super chat, but here's an attack super chat. Should we read it? Is that a QAnon one? It's pretty graphic. You want me to censor some of it out?
Well, there's a Q. Let me handle it. Let's read the Q one first.
Okay, the Q
cult. One is a $5. I'm gonna read the next. I'm gonna read the bad one. That's a
you
bad
read
one
the bad
here.
One. And by the way, guys,
but let's read the one that's associated to the topic we're talking about first before we get to the bad one.
And before we get to the Q cult,
that's happened out there.
You know, a lot of people, Luke, have been asking us about Isaac Cappy. I am in touch with Isaac Cappy, and we are going to do the definitive interview. I talked to him again today. The definitive interview with him, I promise. And by the way, Isaac is a Q guy. That's somewhere where we may disagree. But again, we can have the conversation. We can still talk to one another. But let's read this one from Liza Jean Williams. And it's Q cult is a very sophisticated operation designed to disable people connecting like we are right now. You two, by the way, Unirock has done great Q research. I've seen some of the Unirock stuff. Again, to me, with the Q stuff, and whether it's an operation or it's a LARP or it was somebody on the inside that felt like they got some power and then just started putting out whatever it is, it's something we don't need to focus on, because it's a lot like Nesra. And people used to contact me about that. What's Nesra? Well, it was the imaginary, you know, group of intelligence officers that were all going to save us from the government. Remember that one? You'd get emails about that too, I'm sure, Luke. Nesra was going to save us. Don't worry. And just like the trust the plan, you know what plan I trust? I trust the plan to go to the grocery store and pick up some food for the week and to go get gas in my car. Otherwise, I don't trust a lot of plans, Luke. Do you just trust plans?
No, I trust evidence. I trust things that I could see instead of riddles, speculation, more riddles, and things that never come true. Tell me one thing that Q said that came true. Please, try to convince me wrong. You know where my Twitter handle is. You know how to reach me directly. So let's go over to this bad super chat by Handsome Truth 4. He says, Luke is not a truther. He is a juther. Let's talk about the Jewish ADL censoring the internet. Let's talk about the Holohawks and Talipoth program. That's the super chat by Handsome Truth. For any comments, Jason, about me being a Juther?
I mean, obviously, Luke, you know, you're half Putin's son, half genetically formed super Jew that's going to come in and you're going to take the Dome of the Rock personally. That this is going to be you. You know what? You want to trust the plan? I'm going to give you the inside info. In the next 2 years, Luke is going to go take the Dome of the Rock, destroy it with his massive bionic Juther powers, And then they're going to rebuild the Solomon, the Temple of Solomon, and Armageddon will either begin or it won't. Or the, I mean, the Jews believe that that's, you know, they become the chosen people and we all become their slaves. The Christian Zionists believe that after a few years of this person ruling, they're revealed as the Antichrist, and Jesus Christmas comes back, and the rapture happens, and all sorts of crazy stuff happens. I'm not saying that none of that is possible. I'm saying Luke's going to do it. He's the guy. You got him, Hanson, for truth. You got him.
Yeah, believe in the plan. We got more super chats. I'm gonna take this one. We got Doma Tom. He's saying Luke and Jason, awesome team. Love you guys. Awesome. Love you too. Thank you for the $5 pound super chat all the way from the United Kingdom. Really appreciate the love and support out there. We got a huge base out there. A lot of people in the United Kingdom follow us on We Are Change. Every time I go to London, I stopped everywhere. It's incredible. So much love all the way to the United Kingdom. We got another one from Handsome Truth 4. He's going all in. He's giving us $10. I don't know if we should entertain these. I don't think it's a good reason.
I think up to a point you do have to stop them, because it's, listen, man. Yeah. Let's get this out of the way before you read it. I'm not anti-Semitic. I don't hate Jewish people.
You can take this one, Jason.
All right, I will. QAnon is just a Jew a nonsense name. The Jew vote Patrick Little. Oh, geez. Little 2020 for president. I'm sure he won't win, and I hope that he doesn't get a platform. And I'm going to say this again. I just don't believe in race ethno-based hate. I never will, okay? It is the content of a person's character that defines them as a human being. And I can interact with any human being, no matter what their beliefs are, as long as they are willing to interact with me in a peaceful and civil manner. Is that too much to ask, Radowski?
I know. It's that simple. It's like people have their biases and their anger and their hatred. And if you want to be in that cycle, you be in that cycle. But you're not going to create anything productive or anything good out of it. Once you hate somebody, you're giving someone energy. It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to get sick. I don't feel like living in that kind of environment. I don't feel like having that kind of existence. And we choose what kind of life we live in. And you could focus on hating a whole group of people and be a complete idiot. Or you could deal with the reality of life and make your life a lot better by, you know, doing exactly what you said. So, again, it's just a simple thing. I don't hate anybody. There's no reason to spread that. I have so much hate thrown my way for just being the person that I am and speaking my mind openly. But, again, I don't even entertain those things, because I don't care what people say about me. You know, the only reasons like words have power is because you give them power. You choose to give them power. And I choose not to entertain people that I have no clue about, that I have no idea about, who don't have any understanding of me and just choose to attack. Like we're seeing here in the super chat in a very sophisticated way. But that's okay. You know, call me a Jewter?
Juther,
are you Juther. A Juther.
It's like Gunther.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. That's your opinion. You're entitled to it. I'm not going to get butthurt over it. And I think if people had that approach in life, we would be a lot better off, and understand that the true power is always within yourself, and it's always within your reaction. So let's just move forward. We got one last super chat by Miss Love Seat for $1. Thank you so much. Domatome is going on. I don't know if we should entertain this. I don't think we should read some of the stuff that he's saying, because he's just, again, just trolling effectively. And I think
you know what?
Again,
let's keep the super chats reasonable. How about that? And you know what? Thank you guys for mostly keeping them reasonable. Let's move on to this next story, because you know what? It is Q-like, right? Trump offers to meet with the Iranian President Rouhani without preconditions. Now, I know that you're no Trump trainer, and I always say that I'm not a Trump trainer either, but I got to tell you, I liked what he said here, Luke. I said, wow, no preconditions, no fear-mongering, not saying he's going to come in with fire and fury. This is good stuff. And Q was pushing for war with Iran. John Bolton, who, if you look in the video of this article, with his maniacal mustache, is pushing for war with Iran. And somehow, again, Trump's not my favorite. There's a lot of work to be done. But, you know, going to war with Iran would be a big mistake, and I would like to see him actually sit down and meet with the Iranian president. I think that would be a positive thing. What are your thoughts?
That would be nice, but it's not going to happen. I actually talked about this issue in the video, Why the Government Can't Win Against 3D Printing. I'm actually going to copy that link and send it off in the chat room so people could watch it too. I did a whole comprehensive analysis of Trump offering to meet with the president of Iran, Rouhani, without any preconditions. And many people were like, oh, this is following the same kind of protocols that he had with North Korea, where he openly threatened North Korea, called Kim Jong-un a fat boy or something, and insulted him and said he was going to attack him, and then came to the table with him. And this is what people are calling a Trump two-step strategy, where he goes on the offensive, he gets leverage, he goes meets with the people that he's attacking at first, comes out with a mutual decision that helps out both of them, and then the media covers this whole thing in a positive light for him, like he's some kind of tough negotiator. But this is not working for Iran. Iran has turned down this offer because right after Trump decided to say no preconditions, the Secretary of State, that was the former CIA director, Mike Pompeo, came out and then set conditions for Iran if they were going to meet with Donald Trump. So already, the former CIA head, the current Secretary of State, already compromised that offer and contradicted Donald Trump, which, again, makes many people ask, who's in charge here? The former CIA director, Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, who's countering Donald Trump? Or is it actually Donald Trump making these calls and decisions? Donald Trump has surrounded himself with some of the most bloodthirsty war hawks, evilest people that you could ever imagine, that literally their conscience is the lowest vibrational thing that you could ever think could ever exist, with so much bad juju from all their horrible acts that they have committed before. So, and Iran has been on the wish list of the neoconservatives to bomb and attack for a number of years now, ever since the Bush administration, ever since 9/11, ever since the Iraq war. Iran has always been on a chopping block because they don't play well with American geopolitical hegemony. They counter U.S. hegemony and have been working with China, India, Russia, and making alliances and pacts with them, not only economically, but also militarily. So I think that might happen possibly this October or November. But really, I just see the United States waiting this out as tensions keep rising between them and the United States, and of course, Israel as well, because the tough economic sanctions are really going to hit Iran hard, where Iran right now is actually looking at cryptocurrencies to try to avoid a lot of the stiff, very hard economic warfare that the United States is raging on them.
Well, again, Luke, I want to be the optimist here, but you're not wrong when you talk about Pompeo, when we talk about Bolton, when we talk about Mattis. You know, Mattis, although he seems a little more out of it, but, you know, Mattis had some really good things to say last week about the North Korean situation. And I got to say, Pompeo looks like he's working in a better direction there. I'm still extremely suspect of everybody, especially Bolton. Bolton just looks like on the sidelines, can't wait to just bomb the hell out of everything. But we haven't seen it yet. You know, the guy still hasn't started anything new. We are almost 2 years deep. Can we say that really about our last couple of leaders? Again, not Trump training, not saying I'm going to get, you know, an orange tan later. I'm just saying that so far, you know, and you know, we're going to move into Syria a little bit later in the
program.
You're
not going to be looking up Stormy Daniels later?
Oh, Stormy. I'm glad she's faded out of the news. That's a good thing, huh? It was only 444 times MSNBC did stories on her and one time on the – oh, wait, no times on the Yemen war.
Yeah,
but, you know, I guess at the outset, we are still, you know, that's a story we weren't going to go over. We are still arming Saudi Arabia, picking out targets, really bombing Yemen. So that may be the conflict, but that is a conflict he inherited. You know what I'm saying? So, listen, it seems to me this guy is, and maybe I'm being too Rand Paul here, I think that he really doesn't want war. I don't know, Luke.
I don't know. Bombing the Syrian government kind of proved that wrong, but the North Korea thing kind of did contradict it. But we'll see how things play out. We're always going to call it fairly. When it comes to U.S. hegemony and the petrodollar, I'm always looking at the news very closely, and Iran is a major blockade towards that. And we'll see what happens. The moves with Russia are interesting. Russia is also tied in with very closely with the Israeli interests as well, and they've been setting up meetings and working together very closely. So again, we'll be following it as things develop. I still have my views on it. You have yours. They're different. That's okay. We could agree to disagree. I'm going to get to these super chats, but and after I do, Jason, just go into the next story. Mm-hmm. We have one super chat for $2 by Mike Mendoza with no question. Thank you, Mike Mendoza. Really appreciate it. And, yeah, do you want to take this one?
Miss, I knew you were going to have me take it, so I'm going to take it, Luke. And
you have more experience dealing with this, Jason.
Yeah, and I'm going to just kill it because I've talked about this thousands of times probably, maybe hundreds of thousands of times. That's how much this question has been asked to me, but we're going to get there. And by the way, Mr. Loveseat, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for the super chat. So I'm just going to read it verbatim and give you my answer. Hey guys, coming up on the anniversary of 9/11, have you guys heard of Dr. Judy Wood? Of course I have. If so, what do you think of her work? Thank you so much for your time. I wish you guys the absolute best. I do not agree with the vast majority of her work. I know that Jesse Ventura at one point endorsed some of it. I'll say this. There is a lot of questions surrounding how molten steel and molten metal were at the scenes of both World Trade Centers 1 and 2 and 6 and 7 as reported by FEMA. That does not necessarily mean directed energy weapons. I know that that's the craze right now with these forest fires both in Greece and California. And I am looking at that information too. That to me, I don't know enough about it that I can make a comment one way or the other on what happened there. But I can promise you that at the time in 2001, we absolutely did have the technology to use explosives within the buildings of the World Trade Center and control both commercial planes or drones built to be commercial planes. We knew that we had that back in the 1960s, by the way. That's in Operation Northwoods, and we could control those remotely. So to me, those are much more viable options than the things proposed by Dr. Judy Wood and people like, Nico Haupt. He was a crazy person. He was beyond crazy. And you know what? Luke and I, some of our first interactions were around that crazy person, Nico Haupt. And Nico went from somebody who was doing some legitimate research to start talking about ghost plane, no plane, but a plane. And guys, I'll go down a rabbit hole with you. That doesn't mean
I'm digging deep. He bit my friend's nose. He literally came and was violent and tried to attack me. It didn't work. Like a number of times, it had to be carried out. Like, literally, he started biting people. He bit my friend on the nose. There's this crazy video of him just going absolutely nuts.
Well, you know that there's a documentary out there. First of all, we met Nico after 2001. He was actually part of this weird experiment in New York City where they were underground, and one of the first internet multimillionaires put this all together. He ended up going completely broke. It's a documentary called We All Live in Public Now. And he hired CIA interrogators, where you can watch a video of one of the proponents and good friends of Judy Wood, Nico Haupt, getting buck naked in a white room with a CIA interrogator and looking like, guess what, a crazy person. Moving on to one more super chat before we get to the next story. Dome at Home. Says, will you be at Anarchapoco 2019, Luke? I believe he will. He'll answer that. And F the Jew haters, dumb idiots. I'm with you there, my man. Listen, again, content of character, not race or religious beliefs. Luke,
that's
you going to
the same
to
guy that was asking all the... wait,
no,
was
it's
he?
Not. That was Dome.
Okay,
Dome
it was not.
Home
I thought that
was not
thought that was the same guy.
Handsome for truth. Handsome truth for.
I was like, is that the same guy trolling again? No, it wasn't. So, sorry there, Domatron. Of course, I'll be at Anarchapoco. I'm helping organize some of the events. It's looking like a really exciting one. If you use the promo code WRC, you get 10% off of your tickets. We get 10% commission on that as well. So if you do decide to attend, definitely use that promo code WRC. Ron Paul is going to be there. Judge Napolitano, Cynthia McKinney. David Icke, of all people, is going to be there. So this is going to be a wild, big, huge event. We're working on some really amazing things down to Mexico. I'm going to go down to Mexico in a few days, work on an incredible story, and also help develop a really, really awesome, fun plan for that entire event. Expect to be completely surprised, which you just reminded. I got to get in contact with some speakers and performer friends of mine and ask them if they want to come. All right, so let's just move on to the next story. Jason, what is that, Facebook or Noam Chomsky?
Facebook
you take
first.
The Facebook one, and let's get into Noam Chomsky. I'm exhausted, Jason, so let's try to quicken it up a little bit here.
All right. Again, we've only gone through not even half the stories, folks. That's how quick we are with these. Facebook shuts off access to user data for hundreds of thousands of apps. And why did they do this? Well, Luke, that's because hundreds of thousands of apps were spying on you. The Cambridge Analytica scandal, as I covered from the beginning, was a non-scandal to begin with because all of these apps had that type of spyware, had that type of recognition. And the reason that there's hundreds of thousands of them is because there's so many that have failed, Luke, but they all put this like, it's not malware, but it is, you know, almost like a type of surveillanceware that we were all just clicking on in our terms and conditions. Okay, you want access to my microphone? Okay, you want my Cami Cam? Okay, I like Snappy Chat. Okay. And you hit it that many times where now Facebook had to, after both the congressional hearings and the hearings in the UK, they had to say, hey, we better pull it back. We don't want to get sued. We don't want to get demonized, especially after, you know, you took half my wealth. When you took half my wealth last week, for bigger than the chunk that McDonald's is worth, that's how much Facebook lost. So I just want people to keep in mind that this is still going on, that apps are still spying on you. They will find a way around it. But this shows you, Luke, how rampant the issue was.
Yep. And you have absolutely no privacy at all, especially if you're online, just so you know. Moving on to the next story that we're going to talk about. I think this is, what, Thursday's story or Friday's story? Which one is it, Jason?
You know, I think I published it Thursday, I believe, but it came out a little bit before. I had just noticed it, but it's a pretty incredible story. Chomsky.
Yeah. Well, let me get this one because Noam Chomsky's, again, is this like big philosopher, this big kind of educator, and he came out and said Israel's intervention in U.S. election vastly overwhelms anything Russia has done, and he's claiming that the media is largely ignoring these vital issues. And I don't agree with Chomsky on a lot of different things, but with this specific comment, he is officially dead on. It's exactly what I said, I think, 2 weeks ago, Jason, because we've been talking about this for a while.
Yep.
We've been talking about this issue with Israel's involvement in U.S. politics, their effective lobby, with them openly promoting candidates, openly attacking some candidates, and also hacking a lot of U.S. intelligence services and getting a lot of information that they're not supposed to be privy to, that is supposed to be classified, that they're able to attain, and that yet there's no mention of any interference with the Israeli government when it comes to American politics, and there's a huge, huge intervention. Again, what Chomsky was talking about, we were talking about exactly for a long time on this show.
Well, I mean, Luke, can you imagine if there was a Ruski pack instead of an APAC? I mean, that's how heavily embedded they are. And, you know, it's not just U.S. politics. It's global politics. We highlighted, we were the only news organization to highlight the fact that Netanyahu met with both Trump and Vladimir Putin prior to their meeting. That's a fact. Nobody else talked about it. We talked about it, and we continue to talk about Israel when it's important. I'm very happy that Chomsky has come out and said this, because let's be honest, there's been Israeli influence in our national elections and more for decades, since its inception, since we, you know, Zionist Jews, because that's who really brought Israel in. Well, I mean, it is. Before Israel existed, it was Zionist Jews, ourselves, and the British that decided to say, hey, Palestine, not so much, and create the state of Israel. So since, I mean, that inception, because remember, they were promised it after World War I. We didn't make good on that promise. After World War II, it happened. So these people have literally had influence in our election system from the beginning. And I think it's important that we do talk about that, because they're a very small nation physically, Luke, but they have a very big reach. And even Ray McGovern, who was a CIA officer for 26 years, used to give George H.W. Bush his briefs talked about that in my film Fabled Enemies 9/11. He talked about how Israel is the fly in the ointment, if you will. Those were the exact words.
Yeah, I mean, we don't shy away from the topic of the Israeli government and have been very critical of them with actual evidence. But there's so many people trying to muddy the waters with just so much racism and hate that, and this is why a lot of people are so afraid to even talk about the Israeli government rationally from an evidence point of view, because all these people come in and they spread all this bigotry, which of course people associate with just even being critical of the government. Now, of course, this hasn't stopped us. You can see at the comment section, there's a lot of people just trying to antagonize and push that kind of bigotry and hate towards a whole group of people. But to me, I always point the finger at the government. Governments need to be held accountable, just like the U.S. government, the Russian government, the Chinese government, whatever government you're looking at. There needs to be accountability, and we can't just hate a whole group of people.
And let's say this, Luke, just because you're born in Israel, yeah, you're Israeli, that doesn't mean you're Jewish, okay? Like it's very tough, because at some point it's like, is it a religion or is it a race? I know Ashkenazi, Khazarian, I've heard it all before, but the real bigots out there, they will lump everybody into one group, and it's just hate-based. It's gross. But does Israel control some things? Do they influence some things? You bet they do. And a guy like Noam Chomsky, who's a huge leftist, by the way, Luke, coming to the defense of Russia and talking about Israeli influence, well, that's a huge story.
Yeah, and that's definitely not going to stop the mainstream media and spreading their kind of Russia phobia that they're trying to spur between the United States and Vladimir Putin and Russia, of course. We got another super chat by Michael Dale Artist, and he says, speak to Anonymous regarding Swiss factor. I don't know exactly what that means. Do you know anything
clue.
About that, Susan?
No clue.
Okay. And then we got another super chat by Bunny Ha. Says, check out what Cali court passed thanks to Uber and Amazon killing independent contractors and small business. It's called Dynamec Common to a State Near You. That's something I'm going to take a look at right after this broadcast. I'm just going to copy and paste that in there. But similarly, on the topic of Russia, another important news announcement came that hasn't been followed up by the U.S. mainstream media. That, of course, contradicts their narrative. But there's actually a leaked proposal that is revealing how Russia is actually seeking the United States' help to rebuilding Syria. There's an actual Russian proposal that, of course, is being met with an icy reception in Washington that wants to work together to cooperate in order to rebuild and to fix the war-torn country that is Syria. So, very interesting development. This proposal was sent on July 19th by the chief of the Russian military general staff to U.S. Marine General Joseph Dunford, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And it will be interesting to see how the United States will respond to this, since obviously a lot of countries, including even China, are coming to the aid of Syria, and they have been coming to the aid of Syria for a very long time, but now they're going to be even more hands-on. And they're saying that the Chinese military will now help Bashar al-Assad retake the rest of the Syrian territory. This is according to what a lot of ambassadors are suggesting. So obviously Russia and China have been heavily involved inside of Syria. The rebuilding efforts are on their way. It's extremely interesting to see Russia reach out to the United States and say, hey, let's rebuild the territory together after it was just completely war-torn. So, that's my two cents on it. Anything else you want to say before we move on to the next story?
Well, I just want to say that Tim Pool just made an in-screen appearance while you were not looking, Luke. So the entire...
Well, Tim Pool's right here. He's over here.
What's Tim Pool think about the situation in
Syria?
Really?
I didn't see him. Yeah, I didn't see him at all. I'm starving, dude. I'm hungry. Just wait. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. All right. We're going to do dinner soon.
I think you hit it spot on, Luke. I think we should move on to the next story. But the bottom line is our mainstream will not cover the fact that we should help Russia in this rebuilding effort, because we did have boots on the ground there with the CIA. We are
still do.
Yeah, still do. Yep. We are the ones that are continuing this war, supposedly against ISIS, but we're helping ISIS get out of there with the white helmets. who are basically Al Ciaeta brothers. So, again,
That's a very generalized statement, Jason.
Is it?
It's a lot more complicated than that, and a lot more sophisticated. But let's move on and really understand where all of this has gotten us, because there's a new article coming out, a new study coming out, saying that, according to the Defense Department, the war on terror has cost $250 million a day for 16 years now. And just imagine the veracity of that entire cost of that money just being spent on just destroying human life and human existence. And that, to me, is an absolute outcry. That, to me, is totally immoral, totally wrong, should be a major issue of concern for all Americans, especially all taxpayers who decide to pay taxes to the state, because that's where the majority of your money is going to. And the state is indebting itself with all these loans and all these like quasi corrupt banking systems that literally have this country indebted to, what, $21 trillion now? That is all primarily because of the military-industrial complex, and it needs to stop. At the left and right, I think, all agree on this. There's not many pro-war people that I met yesterday that were on the right side, and there's definitely not pro-war people on the left, but now they're getting pushed into propaganda with them trying to go off against Russia, which, again, just more propaganda is all around the place. You want to go on, Jason?
Yeah, you know, again, if you think about that, that's $1.75 billion a week. I mean, it is an incredible amount. I mean, that comes out to about or maybe $800 to $900 billion, almost $1 trillion a year. It's pretty incredible. If you want to know where our money's going, it's going towards war. And I think, what are you smiling about over there? You're so happy.
I'm reading the comments. I'm reading the troll comments.
I can't do it, because sometimes I do it. I try to keep a straight face. It's terrible. But yeah, no, this is why the military-industrial complex has to end. And this is why perpetual war. Who's making this money? Think about what the profit margin is on a nice Lockheed Martin missile. I'm sure it's pretty sweet. On a nice Raytheon drone. I'm sure the profit margin is huge. And I ain't making them. I'm not going to profit by bombing brown people, but somebody is, and that's why this is going to continue to go on until we speak up. Moving on to the next story, my man, because we've got two more to go, and Luke is a hungry guy. Plastic straw ban.
Man.
Oh, no, that's fine. Wait, are we doing that one, or are we doing China first? China first, right?
I don't see the China, but you do the... I think I already covered the China one.
Okay, yeah, you did. Plastic straw ban, you can be sent to jail for breaking this new law in California City.
Yeah. I was gonna talk about that, because that's pretty much just going to generate more revenue for the state when we're spending so much freaking money already. And expect more just draconian laws to be placed in. You know, the government's going to say, oh, we're here, we care about the environment, we care about you, we care about the people. Bull crap. Bull hooey. You do. They're just looking for more revenue so they could pay off the military-industrial complex to launch more foreign wars of aggression and bomb the crap out of innocent people all over the frickin' world that they finance behind the scenes, financing the terrorists, pushing them to attack certain countries, creating that enemy, and then saying, well, you know, now we got to bomb them, and now we got to rebuild it. So, obviously, just a whole complete Ponzi scheme system that we're seeing here that is just meant to destroy human existence and our way of life. That's my two cents on it.
All right, let's move on. I mean, we covered this one last week. We actually even put out an individual video on the plastic straw ban. So if you want to see in-depth, just go check out the page. And by the way, folks, we do need you to subscribe to our backup channel. We're trying to monetize that. We're going to be doing more content there. That is the Pulse Change channel. I need 1,000 subscribers. So get out there. Please subscribe to that. Please subscribe if you're not subscribed to this one. Please hit that subscribe and notification button. And our final story of the evening before Mr. Radowski leaves us, Starbucks gonna start accepting the Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies and lattes, hipsters and Bitcoin. I don't know, Luke. I'm sure you're happy about it.
Well, this news is definitely going to spread a lot of happiness amongst the crypto community. My advice is HODL. Don't give your money to Starbucks. They're a horrible corporation. Don't feed them and support the beast. Keep your Bitcoins, don't give it to them. But good news all around the cryptocurrency space, and I bet a lot of people are happy about it with the integration of cryptocurrencies. And again, you know, there's many speculations and theories out there. Nothing is 100% sure, safe bet. And question everything. Sorry, I'm my hunger is like getting to me. I'm already like winding down here after this broadcast, to be honest with you. Someone's literally walking by with a Starbucks thing as we're talking about this.
Oh, the Starbucks. Well, Luke, again, you're seeing more and more people accept cryptos, mostly Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the essential one. The question is, when are we going to see more cryptos get accepted, more mainline? I know Bitcoin is still only in certain places, Newegg.com, Overstock.com, now Starbucks. But this expansion, obviously, is good news for people in the crypto market. The question is, when does it go beyond Bitcoin? And does Bitcoin end up leading the market at the end of the day? Or do quantum computers come in, break the code, break that algorithm, and screw everybody, and end cryptocurrencies altogether?
And that's something that Amazon is working on. And Amazon is a horrible corporation that shouldn't, like, if you care about your personal freedoms, if you care about the future, you boycott Amazon right now. There's a reason Jeff Bezos is one of the richest men in the world. Contracts with the CIA, contracts with the Pentagon, treats his workers horribly. Some of the working conditions that I'm hearing coming out of Amazon are some of the most atrocious working conditions that people could ever go through. Boycott Amazon, boycott Amazon, boycott Amazon if you care about your future, if you care about your existence on this planet and any scravel of privacy that you guys have. We got one more super chat saying, darn it, guys, you trolls are so effed up. Keep going, guys. Best alt media greets from Germany. Well, thank you, Domitome from Germany. Really appreciate all the super chats. Everyone who was with me yesterday, we had a lot of people watching the live broadcast. It was a huge community. Of course, all those viewers keep us safer, keep us more prepared, and allow us to do more work in the future. So definitely, guys, stay tuned. We got Jason's going to be doing a lot more work on the backup channel. We're going to be building that up. We got a great coming out tomorrow about finally talking about an issue that we haven't been talking about, and that's ideologics, race politics, that needs to be addressed so you guys can fully understand where we're coming from. Don't let the haters get to you. We never do. People could say whatever they want. People could spam whatever they want. My camera just my camera's dying over here. I don't know how you still got me over there, Jason.
you're in. Just for a second. Yeah, it's freezing a little.
Yeah. Whatever happens, happens. Live your life in a beautiful and amazing way. Don't let anyone interfere in that. Remember, you're the ultimate decider of your life. Decide a good one. That's pretty much all I have to say. Anything else you want to say, Jason?
You know, that's about it, folks. And again, we have the join button. There's going to be more and more Luke emojis, good ones. You're going to want those Luke emojis, and it helps support us. So please, check us out. Check out with the backup channel, and thank you guys so much.
People are asking me if I'm still in Portland. Yes, I am in Portland. We've got this funny character walking around here, acting all strange and weird. So if there's any stories that you guys specifically want me to do, make sure to hit me up on my Twitter, twitter.com/LukeWeAreChange. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys very much from the bottom of my heart, because if it wasn't for you guys, I would not be able to be here. And the only reason I'm able to be here is because of you wonderful, amazing human beings. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys from the bottom of my heart. Tim?
I want to get Indian food.
Oh, yes, Indian food. Get some naan, garlic naan. Jason, thank you for chipping in. Love you guys. Stay tuned for a lot more.